Broadcasting from Chicago, it's Hold Up, Wait a Minute on Gozamos TV. Hosted by Reina and Roberto, it's a raw and unfiltered conversation about gender, sex, sexuality, and navigating a heteronormative world in the young century.
Hello, Internet.
Bonjour, Internet.
Ooh, French.
That's right.
I like it.
So, today's episode is called Bear.
Yeah.
Bear back.
And not like the Chicago Bears.
Just the bears that I've dated. Bear back, bare face, bare ass, naked. And speaking of naked, there is a Ukrainian feminist group called Femen.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yes, and, you know, Lintana, you have heard of them as well, or at least seen them. Their preferred mode of attack is topless protests, and part of their mission statement is attacking patriarchy in all its forms, the dictatorship, the church, the sex industry. Now, I find these protests to be, you know, very effective. When I first saw these women just shirtless and screaming, you know, and just being so aggressive about the message, I thought, wow, you know, these brave dudes are really doing it, you know, like they're really making a difference, and they're making it in a way where people are going to listen.
Yeah, I think definitely some of the things that they are protesting, these are noble causes, and they have paid the price for this. There's actually one member who, after cutting down, I think, a cross or something in a town, was facing charges, I think for vandalism or something. But it was really like a larger protest against the church. And for that, she was being persecuted by the state, and she actually ended up in exile in France, where she started a unit over there of the same kind of protest. Like, she has even a protest school and whatnot, trying to train other women. I guess it's femen.
And also, when they were earlier this year, when they were protesting in favor of marriage equality in France, a couple of anti-gay protesters actually chased the women down the street, trying to attack them physically.
Right, right. And there was another case, I think, I don't think it was in the Ukraine, but it was, I think maybe it was, I'm not quite sure, but they were abducted. Two members were abducted by local officials, and they were taken, you know, at gunpoint to some remote location, and were asked to strip and were degraded. And I think they were even doused with oil or something and threatened to be set on fire. So they do pay a price for their protest activity. But at the same time, you know, they're topless, right?
And I don't think that the rage that they incite would be as aggressive if they were clothed.
Right, right. And that's a part of their, I don't want to say shtick, but that's a part of their point, is that we have these really like hypocritical ideas about sex
and female sexuality.
Right. You know, where you can't bear the sight of a naked woman, but at the same time, you know, women are kind of reduced to sexual objects, and their rights as human beings are often overlooked and kind of just trampled on by these governments, especially. So,
and you know, in mass culture, you know, in media, for example, you see these, you know, body parts of women made to sell certain objects for women, and it's just completely taking away the humanity behind sexuality. And what they are doing is showing people that the human body is nothing to be ashamed of, but it also is something that everybody has. We've all got nipples, we've all got breasts. It's just certain members of humanity use them to, you know, maybe feed their child, and then other members of that same humanity just use them as whatever. I mean, I like my nipples. I like people doing things to my nipples, and I like doing things to dudes' nipples. But that's basically all the functionality that I have
right.
with them.
Right.
Now, what Femen is trying to suggest is that, well, you know, just because I might have a larger gland than you doesn't mean that it should be shunned and it should be put away. Now, do you think that this is, you know, a political statement that is, you know, progressive and outrageously effective? Or is it just selling out to sensationalistic to employed sensationalism.
I'm kind of torn because they do make an impact. Like a lot of the different causes that they've kind of championed, I wouldn't have heard of without them being there, being naked. But at the same time, I do think they're kind of playing out and selling out to this whole culture that will only consider a woman's position and only consider a woman's voice if she does draw attention to herself in this kind of way. So I think on one hand, sure, being naked somewhere and protesting may cause a stir and may get people's attention, but is it really having any long-term impact? Some critics have said that it's causing people to look at them and men to like jerk off at them, but that's about it. And at the same time, they were criticized not too long ago, I think at the end of last year, for, again, this school that was launched in France where they were training other femme members. Women had to exhibit a certain type of physique. So a woman like me couldn't join femme men. They were looking for a specific type of woman, and they kind of justified, you know, looking for like a slender build kind of woman by saying, oh, well, you know, she has to be athletic or has to be able to
outrun
the police or whatever. Yeah. And I think that's kind of bullshit personally, because it kind of plays right into that they want these women to kind of draw attention to their causes. And they understand that there's a certain type of woman that is considered, there are standards of beauty, and, you know, there are certain types of women that they're trying to put out there to kind of draw that attention. I doubt that I've never seen a plus size woman among them. I've never seen like a woman with saggy boobs,
musculature, athletic.
Right. They have a uniform kind of look.
Tits.
About. Yeah. Yeah. Like they have the same rack basically and the same look.
And I think that if they did diversify that look a bit more, it would be even more effective.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it would, you know, say, well, we're naked, but also you're confused because this body type is not one that is normally invited to be naked. It should be shunned away. It should be, you know, you have to keep your shirt on before swimming in the pool. No, take everything off.
Right. And they're not really sending that message. They're kind of sending this message where these are the women that we're sending out to be representatives of our cause, to kind of draw the attention to this. And I think that, again, I kind of side with the critics that say that while this does garner attention, it's not effective. It's not impacting anything, I don't think, except for their own publicity. And that's fine, whatever. But I do think that there are different types of action to be taken to further certain issues. And I don't really know if disrobing and kind of causing a scene is one of them. But there is some other criticism in the same vein that I don't fully agree with. I think I read one critic kind of likening these people to the slut walk people. And I think that's a completely false comparison, because slut walk was about reclaiming your ability to wear whatever you want. You know, it was
without
being raped.
Exactly. Without the fear of some person who is physically more powerful than you taking advantage of you.
Right.
Now, slut walk and femme men are like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Because slut walk was and is, should be again this year.
Should be.
Will be. Illinois, get it together. It should be noted that what slut walk was a mass taking back the night during the day. Taking back the day as well. Because
right.
It was against this whole victim blaming culture that we have where you've incited people's rage. What femme men does is explicitly incite rage with
right.
the use of the nude body.
Right. Yeah. I just don't, I don't know, call me old fashioned, but I think every man, woman, and child should be clothed. I don't want to see shit. You know, this is America.
Yeah,
put your fucking
America.
Clothes on.
Put your clothes on.
Basically. Maybe it's just the hater in me, but I think if you have something to say, you could say it with your shirt on. And if you know what the fuck you're saying, then you shouldn't have to take off your shirt. But again, that's just me.
I agree with you that most people should be clothed at all times. I appreciate the radicality of what they're doing and how they're doing it. Like I like the fact that it is inciting this discussion on what is, you know, it also for me incites the fact that men can go topless, but women can't go topless.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always been weird. But again, I always feel like men, I see men all the time with no shirts, and I'm like, put your fucking shirt on, please put your shirt back on. But, yeah, it did. If anything, it incites a discussion as well about nudity, about female bodies. And there was another article I read recently that kind of opened up a discussion about, you know, women's bodies and women's appearances. And it was an article I read about this makeup artist who works in the adult film industry. And I guess she set up some, like a blog or set up some posts where she featured before and after photos of porn stars who, you know, they look like average women down the street, and then she does them up, and then boom, they're ready for
porn,
for their scene. And it's kind of interesting because porn stars, they always have that same porn makeup, you know, and it's like, it's really interesting that she can just kind of come in, wave her makeup brush around, and boom, porn star. But some of the comments that she received on this project were really what was alarming. There were men who said things like, oh, like, I'm never going to enjoy porn again. Or, you know, women who were, you know, trying to, that were saying that, oh, like, well, if I wear makeup like that, then I can be a porn star. Like people just kind of, the idea was lost on them.
I feel like these people are taking things too personally. This woman is basically showing you her work.
Right, right.
This isn't about you. This isn't about your weird appreciation for porn. You know, and yeah, you know, makeup is a very, very incredible thing. It changes you. It changes women, because God forbid a man wear makeup. But it changes a woman's face to being any sort of type of person that woman wants to be at that time. They can be demure. They can be porn starish. But the article also brings up the fact that women have to always wear makeup.
Right.
Just to be considered professional in any sort of situation. And when men say, oh, you know, I prefer a natural look, there's nothing natural about that natural look.
Right. Half the time.
It's foundation. It's eye crap. It's a bunch of crap.
Right.
On her face. If it was actually really natural, you'd see the dry flakes on her skin. You'd see
right.
The acne.
Oh, yeah. Blemishes and things like that. Yeah. A lot of people, a good makeup artist can create a natural look that's flawless, that fools men mostly, because women know that very rarely do you have perfect skin, you know, and
I feel like
eyes.
Straight men and gay bros who think that, oh, wow, you know, she has really good skin. The woman with the best skin needs as much help as the woman with the worst.
Right, right.
Nobody has perfect, flawless skin.
Especially with today's, like, you know, high-definition cameras and shit. I don't know how many times, like, I feel like a horrible person when I watch the news sometimes, because I can't stop staring at the anchor's pockmarks and shit. And I'm like, I should not be able to see this level of detail to this person's face. But I do. So, in some sense, this makeup is kind of needed, and not just women, but men too. You know, everybody kind of is wearing makeup now. Of course, like, it's different on screen, you know, that's a separate issue. But back to your point about women having to wear makeup in different settings, you know, I think that is something that people don't consider. It's another part of, you know, having to portray yourself in a certain way to be accepted by people. And it's almost as if women don't have a choice, and that's why it's so radical when a woman does make a choice, like, I'm not going to wear any makeup, you know, and it incites all this discussion because people don't really think about it. They take it for granted.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're a lesbian, or, oh, what are you trying to pull? Well, what's wrong with being a lesbian? What's wrong with trying to say something?
Right. Right.
Or even if that person was just giving up makeup because she didn't feel like it, I'm sure all the reactions she gets, she's going to be like, no, fuck you. Then I am saying something now.
Right. Right. But yeah, the pictures are interesting. We'll post a link on our page so you can see these before and after photos. Very much just like random girl, boom.
And please masturbate to the picture that doesn't have any makeup on. You'll feel better about yourself.
I think you would, actually. I think that would be a really good exercise to see the beauty in everyone.
And he's like,
came out all fucked up.
It came out all weird, but I'll forgive you. But I just think it's hilarious that all these men are like, oh, you ruined porn for me. Oh, you didn't know that there were people?
Yeah, well, men ruined porn for me like a million years ago.
Men ruined a lot of things for me, not just porn.
But porn has been blamed on a lot of different things. And you sent me a really interesting article about...
I didn't send you shit.
Your clone. Somebody sent me some shit from your address, so...
Oh, somebody stole my identity.
But... Yeah, there was this really interesting stuff that you pointed out to me about different trends in the gay community and specifically about barebacking and, you know, this whole practice of just having unprotected sex.
I feel like, because this is more so a gay men's issue than a lesbian's issue, because I mean... You don't need to use protection, right?
Well, I think that's a fallacy, you know? I mean, a lot of people have the assumption that lesbian sex is safer sex, and to the extent that there isn't penetration or bleeding or anything like that, then that's true. But there are a lot of diseases that you can still communicate, just like, you know, genital to oral contact, and, right. You know, so that's always a concern. And yeah, I remember being told, you know, how to use a dental dam or saran wrap. I've never used... that.
Well, it's a gay men's issue, as I said.
Yeah.
And I have gone out with guys who didn't want to use a condom.
Right.
And I've tried it before, but I feel like I just tense up because of the fact that, you know, I don't know where your penis has been. Right. You don't know where my asshole has been. Even though I clean it, it is just...
You could eat breakfast off of it.
You could eat breakfast in it. It's immaculate. However, you don't know that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason why gay men are going bareback is because of this need to heteronormatize sexuality for them. Whereas there's this unfair advantage that a lot of heterosexuals have where they think they're invincible, you know, of AIDS, contracting AIDS or HIV. And I know a heterosexual people who don't use protection often, and they think, oh well, I know this person that I'm having sex with and I don't need to do it. But then again, these people are in relationships,
right? I think that is a big difference. I think if you're in a monogamous relationship and you choose to have unprotected sex, that's one thing, and that's totally fine. I mean, that's the main benefit of being in a monogamous relationship, right? You know, but is that stability, and that you know where your partner has been and is doing, and you have an understanding about that, and maybe you get tested and share that information. But I think for other people, there is this kind of draw, like taboo kind of seediness to it as well. I mean, I think maybe two things are going on. One is that it is becoming more normalized in the same way that, you know, unsafe sex practices among heterosexuals are normalized, especially because now, like the articles point out, a lot more people are living longer with HIV, and it doesn't seem like that kind of threat that it once was.
Yeah, once was. But you don't want it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's still a pain in the ass. You gotta take a lot of pills.
But what exactly constitutes unsafe sex? Is it only anal or is it oral? Because I don't think I've ever performed fellatio on a man while he was wearing a condom.
I think...
And I don't know if that's right or wrong.
Most people don't do that. And I think that... I actually read an article not too long ago about an increase in throat cancers that was thought to be linked to certain types of HPV viruses that can make their way into your throat and those membranes from oral sex. So it's not safe, really. But what is, you know, I mean, there are those.
Yeah,
it's a matter of like knowing your partner and knowing the risk and if you want to take that risk.
And I think that this is exactly what it is, that these men who are engaging in this unsafe behavior, some of them are just having one night stands. Now, I've hooked up with random people and never seen them afterward, but I was always safe. Like, I never had the discussion about the lack of protection until I had been dating somebody for a while and I was fairly confident that they weren't dating anybody else or having sex with anybody else.
Right.
And I feel like with the advent of phone apps like Grindr and stuff like that, it's much easier to hook up with guys. Now, I've never hooked up with a guy sober like that, you know, like
that's
really drunk to be like, okay, fine, we'll have sex, whatever. But, like, if I'm sober, I'm like, no, we're totally using protection. I don't want you to have sex with anybody else because I right. just want you to have sex with me.
Right.
And I feel like there should be more of a push in gay men's culture to sort of sexualize protection.
Yeah.
And say safe sex is hot sex because it's right. safe.
Yeah, that was one of the other points that one of the authors brought up was this idea that part of the draw is that it looks like the sex you see in movies, you know, and maybe if we saw more protected sex in fantasy type context, you know, we would kind of
gravitate towards
yeah.
using that. Because right. I feel like what movies and television shows lack during these love scenes are that moment, that true organic moment where you ask, oh, do you have a condom? Oh, yes, I do. Hold on. Right. Oh, do you have lube as well? Because, you know, like, you look really big. And
lights come on. You're looking through your drawer. Exactly. Where's the lube? It was just here.
Honestly, I feel like if what you're looking for is to get aroused by a certain thing, because you can, but you can get aroused by the realistic approach to sex right. in media. Yeah. If you want something more penetrative, then look for porn.
Right, right.
Because they don't show the condom being put on, but they show the condom in because it's an art form where it's focused on the penetration of it. So you can see that the person is wearing a condom.
Right.
However, you can't see all that stuff in a just, you know, like Sex and the City or something like that.
Right, right.
And Sex and the City actually did have a lot of condom usage in it. And I feel like condoms should be put in stores right at the registers or something, you know, make it a normal thing to buy
yeah.
so that people don't get offended by it. People are still offended by, you know, purchasing sanitary napkins.
Right. Yeah. I never understood that. I go to a store and buy some tampons and they like double bag that. And I'm like, I have a vagina and I have a period.
And you have to use it. Like,
and I'll take one bag. Exactly. Thank you.
You know, don't even give me the bag.
Do
you have any loudspeakers or whatever? Because I can just, you know, walk down the street saying, I'm on my rack.
Like, it's not something to be ashamed of. And I totally agree with that. I think we have some really prudish ideas, which we will explore in an upcoming episode of Hold Up, Wait a Minute, because we have a lot of issues with prudishness in
we do.
Here.
We do.
So we're going to save that.
We're going to save it for later. We're going to ask you to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Just search for us. Hold Up, Wait a Minute.
It's all separate words.
Yeah. And it's free.
It's free.
And you can leave us a review. You know, we welcome your feedback. We're having fun doing this project. And
we want you to have fun while you're folding your clothes or
masturbating, whatever you're doing. Folding your clothes and masturbating if you're into laundry sex.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to put those clothes back in the laundry.
But when they're nice and warm and everything.
Well, that's something for another show, I think.
Well, we're wrapping up, and I guess
you should too.
Yeah.
On that note, you can resume your masturbating.
Peace.